All right, let's turn into our Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As we come to the end of 2020, and all God's children said amen, I'm sure. I'm sure we're tired of 2020. I know that. And hopefully 2021 will have better days for us, that sort of thing. But as I said before, it really is a good opportunity for us to stretch ourselves to be able to grow when we are going through trials and tribulations. I know it's not anything that we wish upon ourselves. I'm sure there's none of us that woke up this morning and prayed, God, give me some afflictions today because I just don't have enough problems in my life. That's generally not something that we pray, but it really is the test of where we're at in our faith and our trust in the Lord as we go through things. And so as we're coming to the end of this year, last week, since we finished Philippians, I started the first three look messages, and we were in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and really one of the things that we saw, of course, was looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, understanding the course, the race that is set before us, and it's always looking toward the Lord that's going to be able to help us complete that race. He starts us out on it the day that we get saved, and he wants to obviously encourage us and to be with us as we continue to go through running the race, and we need to continue to look to him for that. Well, today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and just looking at the last three verses of this chapter, verses 16, 17, and 18, which I'll read here in a second, as we have a look far as an eternal focus is concerned. Again, understanding the same ideas that we're going to go through some things as we serve the Lord, but yet the reward that we can have because of those things, and what we need to do to help really motivate us, I think, is to continue to have that eternal focus on looking toward what we have in Christ, as opposed to the various things that we see in front of us. Let's read this, and we'll get started with it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so, from verse 16, we're going to look at renewing and the importance of having our mind renewed on a daily basis. So important if we're going to continue to run the race that is set before us, as we talked about last week. And in verse 17, we're going to look at working and how the trials, the afflictions that we go through, is going to work for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. And then in verse 18, we're going to be looking at looking, you know, how, again, that we need to look to the eternal and not just the temporal or temporary things that are in front of us that maybe cause us to get us down if we focus on those things. So let's have a quick word of prayer and we'll get started on what we need to see today. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for all that you do for us. I thank you for this week. I thank you that we are here and able to spend some time in your word again. Lord, as always, I pray that you would meet with us. Help us to understand your word. I pray that you would just get me out of the way, use me as hopefully an instrument of righteousness to be able to lay out your word clearly and effectively, that it would work in all of our hearts. We all need this today. Again, it has been a long year. It has been a tough year, and hopefully there's some light at the end of the tunnel here as we're getting ready to move into 2021. But again, we're not supposed to trust in government or trust in anything of this world. Our trust needs to be in you. Our faith needs to be in you. We need to be looking to the eternal Lord and what you have in store for us, which is laid out clearly in your word. So Lord, help us to see these things today. Open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things out of your word, Lord, and again that we would submit and apply ourselves to your word, that again that you can continue to work in our lives and help us to grow in our faith. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's again look at it in verse 16. And the first thing we see here, it says, "For which cause we faint not." Again, Paul's been coming down and laying out really to the Corinthians, especially in this book, really to focus on ministry. And so we talked about last week about how God gives us a course to be able to run. You know, we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so if we see his example of running the race, we have a race to be able to run. Well, it's the same thing that we see here today as far as talking about really a ministry. And the reason why I say that, because if you just go back to verse 1 of this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 1, Paul starts out this chapter talking about why we cannot faint in what God has given us to do in our walk and relationship with him. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry," verse 1, "as we have received mercy, we faint not. And then we see where our text is today in verse 16, for which cause we faint not. So Paul begins and really ends this chapter talking about not fainting and dealing with the ministry that we're able to have. Now remember, ministry is just not for the pastor, all right, or for the preacher or the deacon or something like that. Every believer in Christ, God has given you, wants to give you a ministry. Paul talked about in 2 Timothy and actually, 1 Timothy in chapter 1 about how God enabled him for ministry. He counted him faithful and enabled him for ministry. Well, that's true. That can be true for all of us. God has a ministry for us, and we can't faint in doing that. No matter how tough it may get, God is able to uphold us and sustain us, and part of the way he does that is what? By mercy, as we see in 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. See, this is not something that we can do on our own in the first place. God never asks us to do something for him without giving us the necessary resources or equipment to be able to do what he's asking us to do. All right? And so when it comes to a ministry or a race that he has for us, God is going to give us those things to be able to do it. And one of those primary things is mercy. I want you to hold a finger here in 2 Corinthians 4, and I actually want you to go back, I may test you a little bit in your knowledge of the Word of God, but I want you to go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Lamentations, all right? You have the book of Isaiah, then the book of Jeremiah, and then the book of Lamentations right after that, before you get to the book of Ezekiel. Lamentations is a small book, it's 5 chapters, and I want you to go to Lamentations chapter 3. As you make your way there, this is this book is written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as what's called the weeping prophet because there's a lot of things that the nation of Israel is going through, and just it's the time before they're led away in captivity because, quite frankly, of the sin of the nation. They were not doing what God had laid out in His Word, and God would send them prophets to be able to try to get Israel back in line with the Word of God, back in fellowship with God. But nobody really wanted to listen to Jeremiah whatsoever. And so the second book that he writes, and dealing with Lamentations, lamenting, crying. That's the circumstance or the context that's going on. But notice what he says here in Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to pick it up in verses 22 and 23. It says this, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." God is great in His faithfulness to give us His mercies, plural, every day, every morning. Every time we get up, God has mercy for us to be able to handle whatever may take place during the day. And that's something to hold on to. That is a resource that we have. It's like, no matter the circumstance that happens, you got to stop and realize, hey, wait a minute. God has given me His mercy to be able to deal with this. He's able, and that's what we're going to continue to see in 2 Corinthians 4:16, that happens as well as we have our mind renewed. All right, and we'll talk about how that goes about and how we do that. But I want you to go back before we get to 2 Corinthians 4 again and talking about how we should not be able to faint. I want you to go to Galatians again, because this is something I want to really be encouraging to you this week about how, again, that God is with us to be able to complete the course, to run the race, to be able to fulfill the ministry that He has given us. No matter what the circumstance of our nation or our world is, we are able to do this through the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ and not in our own strength. I want you to notice what Paul says to the Galatians. In Galatians chapter 6, we're going to pick it up in verse 7 and read down through verse 9. This is a familiar passage as far as the reaping what you sow, a principle that we see throughout the Word of God. But notice what Paul says, starting in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. He says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." I mean, we have a choice. The reaping with the sowing is not just a negative thing. Most times we see that and we read those verses, and a lot of times we just maybe think of it in a negative, and we talk to people about it. It's like, oh, if you do that, you're going to reap what you sow. If you do that, that's what I mean. But reaping what you're sowing is also a good thing. It's a positive thing. If I'm sowing to that which is right, sowing to the Spirit of God, sowing to the things of the Word of God, if I'm investing my life in the truth of the Word of God and what He has for me, then I'm going to reap the same. Now notice what it says in verse 9. This is very important. Verse 9 of Galatians 6 says this, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We're going to reap the benefits at the judgment seat of Christ if we continue to press on and do the things that the Lord has given us to do. But if we faint in the midst of that, then we're not. And we see examples of that all the time. And when we look at, let's say, sporting activity or something like that, I mentioned that, I think, last week or on Wednesday night. But it's like there's no hope for an athlete to get rewarded if they faint or stop in the middle of the race. They're not going to just give him the gold medal because, oh, he put out a great effort and, oh, no, he didn't finish, but we're going to give it to him anyway. No, they have to finish the race. And that's what Paul is telling us, spiritually speaking. We need to continue to press on, no matter how, in a sense, we get tired or we get burdened down. We talked about that last week. Hey, give it to the Lord. You know, the weight that's so easily beset us, just give it to the Lord. All right? We're able to continue on. And so we have to make that decision. You know what? No matter what, no matter the trial, no matter the tribulation, I'm going to continue to do the right thing. I'm still going to press on and not get weary in well-doing. All right? I want you to go back to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, in verse 16. It's one of these things that it just, I really, rubber met the road for me, I think, last night. You know, last night I had to work a 12-hour shift, and of course I got to go back again and work tonight. But it was just one of those days, you have those days, I do not feel like going to work. It's not like I'm sick, and it's not like, you know, work was so bad and oppressive that, you know, it's like, oh, I can't, there's no way I want to. It's just one of those days, it's going to blow your mind. But it's like, if I had my choice yesterday, instead of going into work and working a 12-hour shift, I was like, I would have loved to just sit on my couch, my house shoes on. My wife gave me new house shoes because I like blow through house shoes like every year. Okay, have some cocoa and just watch a nice Hallmark Christmas movie. If I had my choice, that's what I would have loved to do last night. Just watch a Hallmark Christmas movie, kick my heels up, and just take it easy, not have a care in the world. That's what I would have loved to do, but then I would have gotten in trouble because I needed to be at work. And it's like, and work was work. There was a lot of things to have to do, whatever. But you know what? God gave me mercy to get through it. And you know what? My 12-hour shift, to be honest with you, it almost seems shorter than sometimes working 10 hours or 8 hours, that sort of thing, because it kind of really, to be honest with you, flew by because of what was going on. But no matter the situation, God's able to help us go through just trusting and relying upon Him. Now, let's continue on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." See, as a believer in Christ, we have two natures. We have the nature, obviously, that we're born with, our sinful nature, the old man. But then we have the new man, the new nature that we have, which is after Christ. And it's like, according to, obviously, what it says in this verse, the outward man is always perishing. I mean, we know that. I guess I'm starting to get into age. It's like, you know, I have issues with my knees. But last night, I really caught myself thinking, as I was walking outside, and it's like, yeah, the weather people may be are going to be right. I guess it's going to snow because I feel it in my bones. You know you're getting old when you can predict the weather by your bones and how they feel. All right? I come to that conclusion. But it's like, well, yeah, this hour, man, this body is always perishing. All right? And we're not going to live forever. I mean, no matter our modern technology and everything like that, still the average that we live is 70 to 80 years, which is actually laid out in the book of Psalms. In Psalm, I think verse 90 it is, that talks about that. It's like, we're going to live 70 to 80 years. I mean, that's obviously some people live longer than that, but then there's people that die sooner than that. So it all averages out to about 70 or 80 years. But even though the outward man is perishing, even though as we get older, we got the aches and the pains and whatever things that may happen, the inward man should be renewed day by day. Now, I use the word should because it comes to our choice. I mean, God is there to help us, to renew us, to give us, what we talked about, those mercies every morning. He's faithful to do that. He's faithful to give us everything that we need to make it through the day, to really thrive through the day, and to do the things that He wants us to do. But we've got to decide that we have to have our mind renewed. And as it says there again in verse 16, it says, "For which cause we faint not." Why? "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And it needs to be day by day. And how do we actually do that? Yes, it's time that we spend in prayer, but it's also the time that we what? Spend in the Word of God. That's how we're going to get renewed day by day. And it's something that needs to be day by day as the Word of God lays out. Now, let me give you a couple of references in dealing with this. I want you to actually go back to the book of Romans. So we're in 2 Corinthians. Go back to the left, you have 1 Corinthians, and you have the book of Romans. And I want you to look at Romans chapter 12. It's a pretty familiar verse that we're going to be looking at here. I want you to actually look at verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 2 is going to be the main point of what we're looking at here in this reference, but we'll start in verse 1. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Paul says this to the Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the, interesting, mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we know what the will of God is? Well, it's an easy answer. It's by the Word of God. I understand and know God's will, what He wills for me, what He wants me to do as His Son in Christ. It's like the Word of God lays that out for me. And I am commanded, because it is a command, not to be conformed to this world. It is easy to be conformed to the world. It's hard to take a stand and do what's right according to the Word of God. We talked a lot about that last week. All right, I know, and some people comment, it's like, man, Charles got loud last week. Yes, I did. And I didn't plan it that way. It just worked out that way. I don't have notes in my outline screen here, pound the pulpit here, see that even proof right here, there's nothing like that. It's just the way it came out. But again, we as Christians need to stand on truth and not to be conformed to the world. It's easy to do that. It's easy to do that. And unfortunately, there are too many Christians and churches that they conform to the world because what? They don't want to deal with the resistance. But we need to be not conformed to the world, but be what? Our minds renewed so that we understand God's good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You guys know my family used to live in Canada. I was a pastor up there for 7.5 years. I remember one time I had a friend of ours that he worked for Hallmark, and he was in downtown Toronto. And so myself and the guy who was my assistant minister at the time, we went down to go meet him. But the guy who was my assistant minister, he worked in Toronto, so he was already there. So it was me. I'm taking the GO train. You know, that's the easy way to get down to Toronto instead of driving in all that traffic. And it was my first time on the GO train. And I remember I got out at the place that we were going to be meeting, and it seemed like I was the only person getting off the GO train, and everybody else was coming on. I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like that I felt like a salmon trying to go upstream. It was just unbelievable. It's like the world was coming against me, and it's just me trying to squeeze my way out to get to where I'm supposed to go. And it's like in talking about understanding what we need to do as Christians, it is like that. It would have been easy for me to just to turn around and just be put back on a train with everything that was coming against me. But obviously, I had a destination to get to. Well, as believers in Christ, again, God has given us a race to run. He's given us a goal, a destination. He wants us to be able to stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, knowing that we have done the things that He's given us to do, running that race. But the world, obviously, is not wanting us to do that. There is going to be that conflict. You got a mass of the world that is going against the things of God. But what are we commanded to do? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we're going to have our mind renewed again as we spend time in the Word of God day by day by day. I'll give you another reference. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. So they go by 2 Corinthians and into Galatians and then the book of Ephesians. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look down actually in verse 22 to start. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to pick it up in verse 22. And we see much the same thing that we're seeing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says this, Ephesians 4, starting in verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, when the Bible uses the word conversation, it's more in meaning than what we use it today. Conversation, we just think about talking one to another. But in the Bible, conversation means your manner of life, your lifestyle. It's not just what you say, but what you do. And it's like we need to put off, like it's old, dirty clothing, our old man, our old nature, that which is according to sinful nature that we have inherited from Adam. And it goes on in verse 23, and it says this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Again, that righteousness is what is right, and we know what's right by the Word of God, but that new man, that new nature that we have being in Christ, that's what we need to put off, or put on. Put off the old, put on the new. And in between those verses is verse 23. Ephesians 4:23. Look at it again. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God has created us in His image. God's a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We are a Trinity. Right? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 lays that out. One place it lays it out. I'm not asking you to turn there, but it talks about how God wants us to be holy in spirit and in soul and in body. And so when we talk about being renewed in the spirit of our mind, and it is a small s there, not capital S as in the Spirit of God, but our own spirit, the spirit of our mind, that gets down to what's our mind. What are we thinking about? It really relates to, we have thoughts, we have attitudes, and we have actions. If we have bad thoughts, again, if we're sowing to our flesh, so if we're having fleshly thoughts or bad thoughts, and we dwell on that, we meditate on that, then that's going to start, what? Developing attitudes. Bad thoughts, bad attitudes. And then that's going to lead to what? Bad actions. Your body. And I'm thinking about ceilings. Now, I mean, unfortunately, it's that time of the year where the thieves really start getting active. You know, where they steal things. I mean, if you are thinking about stealing something or robbing something, and it's like, for whatever reasons that you have, and you're dwelling on that, you start developing an attitude, and you rationalize everything. It's like, I deserve that. You know, there's so much that's happened in my life, I deserve that. They're not going to miss that, or they have insurance, so it's not going to hurt them. You start developing an attitude, and then what's going to happen if you don't stop that? You're going to act upon it. You're going to do it. But again, what are we supposed to have? We need to have, instead of fleshly thoughts, biblical thoughts. Instead of fleshly attitudes, we have biblical attitudes. Instead of fleshly actions, worldly actions, sinful actions, we have biblical actions. And that's why it's important that we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind day by day by day. You go back to 2 Corinthians again in chapter 4 and just verse 16 to kind of to finish up this point. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." That's why it's so important to be in the Word of God day by day. There's so many examples that we can talk about. Even in the Old Testament, if you remember what the high priest or the priest had to do in the sacrifices when they're dealing with the tabernacle and the temple, it's like they had the altar of sacrifice, and then they had this laver of water that was supposed to wash their hands and their feet before they would go into the tabernacle and the temple to present the sacrifice wherever they're going to be doing in the temple. And it's like the priest, every time he went from the altar, he had to stop at the laver. Wash his hands, wash his feet before going into the temple or the tabernacle. When he left the temple or tabernacle, guess what he's supposed to do? Stop at the laver again, wash his hands, wash his feet, before he came to doing anything else. God was so serious about this that if the priest did not do that, guess what would happen to the priest? They'd die. Very serious. It's not like you can skip that, go to the altar, and I'm going to go straight into it. No, you would die. You need to stop and wash your hands and wash your feet. Well, what is that a picture of? Because as we minister, as we walk with Christ in this world, guess what? The dust and the dirt of this world is going to get on our hands and our feet. We think about our hands and serving God and our feet and walking with God. They're just going to naturally get dirty because of the things of this world. And what do we need to do? We need to wash our hands and our feet spiritually. How do we do that? By the washing of the water of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27. Alright? The water is a picture of the Word of God. And just like the priests had to do that all the time as far as their service to the Lord and dealing with the tabernacle or the temple, the same thing really spiritually for us. God, I mean, we don't have a tabernacle or temple that we go to. We are the temple of God, and we're going to the world. And as we serve the Lord in this world, then it is natural for us to have the things of the world cling to us. And what do we need to do? Every day, spend time in the water of the Word. To cleanse ourselves from this world so that we what? Don't get conformed to this world, but get renewed in our mind.
it's amazing how the Word of God really just puts itself all together. And it's really just a practical message, hopefully, today to understand. And really, I can't overemphasize that enough about the importance of being in the Word of God every day. That's one of the things, again, I love my job. I love that I get an hour lunch break for my job, and I can take it whenever I need to take it or whatever. Sometimes it does get interrupted. But as part of my lunchtime, is spending time in the Word of God. It's like, I enjoy that. I need that. I know I need that because I'm just going to be honest with you guys. Not that I'm lying before, but sometimes in working in law enforcement and dealing with people, it can get tough. And I'm sure all of you can experience that. You don't have to be a cop to understand that. What about times in your job or times just being in this world that things get tough and they get frustrating? And it's like, you might want to react in the flesh, but what do you need to do? Act in according to the Word. And how does that happen? I need to make sure that I'm in the Word of God day by day by day. If not, it's going to be easy for me to start responding to things according to the flesh or according to how the world would respond to things and not biblically. Well, that's enough on that. We need to move on. So we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, again from verse 16 into verse 17, and looking at our next point in working. It says this in verse 17. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." So the things that we go through, again, that is the context that we see from verse 16. It's like there are some things that we're going to have to go through and we can't faint. And the way that we're not going to be able to faint is not only God's mercy, but obviously spending time in the Word of God on a daily basis. But then also it means, Paul goes on and says, "For our light afflictions." Now this is almost something I'm going to say laugh at, but we're going to look at a passage of some of the things that Paul goes through. And he calls it light afflictions. Now, I don't know about you, but I read these things. I don't consider these things light afflictions. I might consider a light affliction, like we talked about a little bit last week, if somebody laughs at me, or somebody doesn't like my post on Facebook because I post something that's about dealing with the Word of God, whatever. To me, that seems like a light affliction. Notice what Paul says. Remember, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. That is a promise. Talk about claiming the promises of God. That's a promise. If we're going to live godly, God-like, we're going to suffer persecutions. Why? Because this world is against God. It's against His Word. All right? The things that this world believe and do is total contrast to what the Word of God. And you're the one that looks like a fool to the world if you stand on truth. It's like, you're going to believe that archaic book? I mean, these are modern times. Now, I want to show you what Paul talks about light afflictions. 2 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to pick it up in verse 21. This is even in the same book. All right, so we can't even say that, well, this is a different time in Paul's life, and so I'm sure if he was to rewrite it, he would say something different. No, this is in the same book that says that we have light afflictions. I want you to notice what Paul and some of the afflictions that he went through. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and again, let's pick it up in verse 21. The context is Paul is dealing with the Corinthians and all these false teachers coming in, and the Corinthians kind of are following them instead of Paul, who laid out for them the truth. And so Paul starts, in a sense, boasting about the things that he has gone through. Look at verse 21, it says this, "I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews?" Again, these other instructors, these other teachers. "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ?" He says, "I speak as a fool. I am more." Notice, these are light afflictions. "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure." Now, stripes, we're not talking about the stars and stripes of the United States American flag. He's talking about being whipped. "In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." 5 times. That flogging would have 39 stripes on it, or strips on it. All right? And so the Jews did that so they wouldn't overflock somebody, because in the Old Testament that was part of, it could be a punishment for dealing with disobeying God's command. Well, I mean, Paul's not disobeying any God's command, but he was flogged five times. Five times. My little understanding of flogging, I wouldn't want to be hit once with it, let alone 39 times and having that happen five times in your life. Can't even imagine what Paul's back looked like. Remember, Jesus Christ was flogged before he was crucified. I can't even imagine. I mean, when I was little and I, you know, occasionally did something wrong and Dad had to spank me, I know what kind of sting that was. I can't imagine this. This is a light affliction, Paul says. He goes on and it says, in prison's more frequent, in death off of the Jews five times received by 40 stripes they've won, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned, and we have an account of that in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 14. They threw him out of the city, stoned him, and left him for dead. Paul gets back up, goes right back into the city, and starts preaching. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The internal things. It says, who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? In other words, I get upset over things. It says, if I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. So that's quite a list that Paul goes through of the things that he went through serving the Lord, and he calls them light afflictions. Man, that gives you a perspective. I really consider Paul the Job of the New Testament. Remember the story of Job and all that Job went through? We preached through that last year. I mean, all these things that Paul goes through for the sake of ministry. And so that should bring to light a little bit more understanding when Paul says, having received mercy, having received this ministry and God's mercy, we faint not. God's mercy was able to help Paul through all these light afflictions. But not only that, where's his focus at? What's he looking to? Just like last week, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What is Paul looking to help him get through these light afflictions? You go back to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, no matter how we live, our time is limited on planet Earth anyway. It says, it's just but for a moment. It says, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The more that these afflictions happen, what it's going to produce is a greater weight of glory. Now, it's interesting that last week we talked about what? Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Lay aside the weight. But yet, as we live for the Lord and go through afflictions, because we are living for the Lord and serving Him, the weight that happens is that it helps us even more so in the glory that we're going to have. Now last week, and I don't want you to turn there, but last week we talked about Romans chapter 8 and verse 17 and verse 18, where Paul again, talking about being able to have the opportunity to reign with Christ and to share in His glory, he said in verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be, not worthy to be counted according to the glory that shall be revealed in us. It's like it's not even going to match up. The glory that we have in Christ far outweighs the sufferings that we're going to go through. And we see the exact same thing here in chapter 4 and verse 17. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 real quick. We've seen this before, but it's a good time to review this in light of this passage. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look down in verses 40 to 42. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, down in verses 40 to 42. this chapter, great chapter in dealing with the doctrine of dealing with the resurrection. And Paul says this concerning the difference between our earthly bodies as opposed to the heavenly bodies that we can have in Christ. It says this, picking up in verse 40, 1 Corinthians 15:40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. So Paul is comparing the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection for us being in Christ, as whether there's the glory of the sun, the glory of the moon, the glory of different stars, and even the stars differ in glory. We all understand that, and you know, we look up in a night sky, as long as it's a clear night, we'll see some stars shine brighter than others. Obviously, if there's a full moon, that's going to be the brightest thing that you see at night. Obviously, the sun is the brightest thing that we're always going to see in the daytime. It's going to outshine everything else. It's not like in the daytime those stars go away in the sky. They're still there. We just can't see them because of what? The glory of the sun. All right? And so when we talk about the resurrection, I mean, again, that's the same thing that we have that opportunity to have that glory like the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, as it's called in Malachi chapter 4, do you believe, you know, and it spells capital S-U-N, speaking of Jesus Christ. The sun literally is a picture of the sun, Jesus, Jesus Christ. And so we can have that same kind of glory, all right? And a lot of times I go through this in just a devotional application. It's like, I wonder how bright we will shine. How bright do we shine now here on earth? Do people look at us and see us like, man, the brilliance of the sun? Or the brilliance of the moon? Or is this another star? You know, how is that? I mean, everybody's making a real big deal out of the quote-unquote Christmas star that's supposed to happen on December 21st. That's when the planet Saturn and Jupiter, you'll see it in the skies, like in the southwestern sky, just after sundown, you'll see these two planets come. They've been coming closer and closer together, so it almost looks like it's going to be one planet. Now, again, they call it a Christmas star, and Trish is like, it annoys me about that. I don't have time to get into that, because that is not what the wise men saw when Jesus was born. I'm just going to say that right now. If you have questions about that, you know, text me, call me, whatever, that sort of thing. We can talk about it later. But at the same time, it is it's easy to see Jupiter at night because it is bright, all right? It is a big planet, all right? And Saturn as well, you know? And so I'm sure it'll be neat to see and that sort of thing. But that is a picture, in a sense, of all the night sky. It's like, man, how bright are we shining? Are we some dim little star? Or are we brilliant? Like you see the planet Venus in the morning time. Man, that's bright. I mean, that's a close planet to our planet Earth. It's really bright. All right, that sort of thing. But it's like, how much are we shining? And I wonder if that will reflect in eternity the kind of glory we're going to have. If we don't shine much down here on earth as a Christian, maybe we're not going to shine that bright in heaven. I don't know. Again, just a devotional, something to think about. All right, that sort of thing. But God wants us to be able to be glorified with the same glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Review this real quick. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Obviously, we saw that this year. But go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, and then we'll be moving on. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And this is a great chapter that Paul talks about pressing toward the mark, continuing with the race that we have, again, and not letting anything to hinder or get in the way of that. Notice what he says at the end of this chapter. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." So if we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and we look at this, it's like it is so important for us to have our mind renewed day by day. Spending time in the Word of God, utilizing God's mercies, understanding we've got a ministry, we've got a course to complete. All right? And in verse 17, yeah, we're going to go through some afflictions. I mean, no matter what we go through, according to the Word of God, they're light afflictions. It's not even going to be worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Again, Romans 8:18. It works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So whatever sufferings you go through now because of your cause of Christ, I'm not talking about suffering that we bring on ourselves and being in the flesh. I'm not talking about that. That doesn't count. But suffering that we have because we are standing on the truth of the Word of God, whatever we suffer and go through, it's just adding to the glory that can be revealed in us. Far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. And then we move on to verse 18, our last point. And again, what's our focus? Where are we looking? Verse 18, it says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." It's like it almost doesn't make sense. And to the natural mind, it doesn't. What do you mean, looking to something that you can't see? How do we do that? How do we focus on something that we can't see? Well, that's where faith comes in. Faith. How do I see the unseen? Well, I see it by the time that I spend in the Word of God that I'm supposed to spend in the Word of God daily. That's how I see the unseen. That's how I'm going to walk by faith. It's by spending that time in the Word of God. That's how I'm going to have my mind renewed. That's how I'm going to be able to deal with the light afflictions that are happening. Because I am focused, I've got to be focused on the eternal. Looking at what I can't physically see, but I see through the Scriptures. You're in 2 Corinthians. Just look at chapter 5 and verse 7. If you want to, you know, have a verse memorized, is a good one. Because it is a short one, but man doesn't say a lot. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says this: "For we walk by faith and not by sight." For we walk by faith, not by sight. This verse is in one of my favorite Denzel Washington movies, The Book of Eli. And if you haven't seen it, okay, everybody here, have you seen The Book of Eli? Oh, you got to watch The Book of Eli. You got to watch it. Come to my house. We'll watch it next week. All right? I haven't seen it in a while. But this verse is in there. In the book of Eli, the book of Eli is the Word of God. And he quotes this verse in that movie. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And it's very significant when you see the movie. And as believers, that's what we need to do, is to walk by faith, not by sight. Yeah, I did not see Jesus Christ die on the cross. I did not see him get buried. I did not see him raised from the grave on the third day. I did not see him ascend into heaven 40 days after that. I didn't see any of those things physically in my life. Why? Because I was not born then. I was not there. But why do I believe that? Why do I know that? Because the Word of God, that is God's Word, that is true, it tells me that. And by faith, I believe that. We've just been reading and seeing that, you know what? The afflictions that we go through, that man, it's going to work for us a far more exceeding eternal weight and glory. It has that same glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, have I seen heaven? Has anybody here seen heaven? No. But what? We see it by faith because the Word of God lays that out. When I'm going through a tough time and struggling, whatever, you know what? What do I need to do? I need to open and spend time in the Word of God because it is how I'm going to grow in my faith. And that is exactly what it says in Romans. I do want you to turn to Romans real quick, chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says this: "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Sometimes as Christians, we say, I don't have enough faith, or I need to increase my faith. How am I going to do that? It's easy. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As I spend time in the Word of God and hearing what the Word of God is saying to me, that's how I'm going to grow in my faith. That's how we even have the faith to get saved. When we talk about that we are totally, 100% saved by grace, you can't work for it, God even gives us the faith to believe the gospel. When somebody lays out the gospel, the Word of God to you, God is able to give you the faith to believe that message. It's still your choice whether you're going to accept it or not. But He even gives you the faith to believe. And that doesn't and should not stop after salvation. As we grow in Christ, we should be increasing in our faith. And how do we do that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Actually, spending time in the book. I give you one more reference that is a well-known reference, at least for us around here. I call it probably one of the most important verses in the Bible because of what it says. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We have been in 2 Corinthians. You got Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians and Colossians, and then
1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, down in verse 13. Context, Paul is thanking the Thessalonians, and just, I mean, he does that several times in his book, but you see, he thanks them for them in the reception and receiving the Word of God. Notice what it says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says this: "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The reason why I call this probably one of the most important verses in the Bible is because you have the most powerful book in the universe in your hands. It's the Word of God. The Thessalonians knew that it was not the Word of man, it was, in fact, the words of God. And the words of God are able to work effectively in your life only if you what? Believe it. If you don't believe it, the most powerful book in the world will not do you any good. You have to believe it. Have faith in it. Do we really walk by faith and not by sight? Do we really walk according to what the Word of God says? It's not just theory. It's not just something I got to... I'm a Christian, so I guess I got to have a Bible. Do you really believe what you have in your hands is the 100% words of God, and that they are true, and that they will work effectively in your life? You see, that's why it's so important, as we started out today, understanding the importance of having our mind renewed. How's that going to happen? By spending time in God's Word. The stuff of this world will get you down. I get it. 2020 has gotten us all of us down at some point. And it's still not over yet. We still got a few days left of 2020, and it just, things can still happen to get us down. And it has nothing even to do with 2020. Just things that may happen at the job, or things that may happen in the family, or whatever that may take place. It's like may get you down, or just like I told you, sometimes you just feel down for no really apparent reason whatsoever. But what do we need to do no matter what the circumstance is? Get our mind renewed. Get our thoughts right. Get our focus right. Spend time in His Word. Day by day. It doesn't necessarily mean that you spend a whole lot of time in the Word of God. Right, I have done to where I have read half of a book in a day, and then read the other half the next day. That is my, if I want to get through the Word of God in 2 months or less, that's my reading schedule. I don't, really don't do that anymore. What my quickest I've ever done it was 29 days of reading through the Word of God. They say that you can do it in 3 days. I mean, that's just constantly reading for 72 hours, but they say it can be done. I've never attempted that, and nor do I see myself attempting that. But then there's times I have studied and read one verse or two at the most. That was it. It's not a matter of the quantity, it's the quality. Right? That when you go to the Word of God, you want to see God, please show me something, teach me something, remind me of something. Give me something to think about, meditate on. All right? I'm not sitting here asking, it's like, oh yeah, you know, if you really want to be a good Christian, you know, you need to read the Bible through and through every month, every 2 months. If you can't do that, you're not a good Christian. No, that's not it at all. So just spend some time. You got some time? The Lord directs you to a book to read, or whatever the case is, or you don't know what to read, just start reading something. I don't care. Psalms, whatever. But you know what? Let me just focus on this verse. Let me see if God gives me something in this verse. Let me pray about this verse. Let me think, whatever. But it's like, it'll help you get through the day. I can't tell you how many times that things have happened. It's like, I thank God that I've been in the Word of God. I got something that I can fall back on to pray about to help me through whatever the circumstance or the situation is. Having that mind renewed. Because as we stand for Christ and continue this walk, continue this journey that we have, we will go through things. But remember, what should I focus on? You know what? I may be struggling now, and this may be a little bit tough, but man, I remember what Paul went through, and he called them light afflictions. If Paul was able to get through that, surely the Lord will help me get through this. And you know what? It's going to work for me a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. That's something to look forward to. And lastly, understanding again. I can't focus on the trial that I see straight ahead. I can't just focus on whatever trying circumstance that has happened, but I need to continue. I need to keep my focus on what's eternal. I need to walk by faith, not by sight. And if I'm struggling with my faith, where do I need to go? To the Word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The most powerful book in the universe. Is it being effective in your life or not? If it's not, it's not because there's something wrong with the book. It's a matter of we actually believe what it says and put it into practice. Let's pray. Father in heaven, and I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you again for the things you've allowed us to be able to see out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 through 18. I mean, there's a lot there. There's so much there, as with all of your word. That's why it is an eternal book. If we had 10 lifetimes, we would never exhaust everything that's in the Word of God. There's no end to your wisdom and to your knowledge and to your understanding. But Lord, we thank you for what you allow us to see, allow us to understand. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to put in practice that which you have shown us and what we understand. Lord, help us to look to the eternal. Help us to walk by faith, not by sight. Help us to renew our minds day by day. That we spend some time with you in the Word and allow you to speak to us through your Word. Well, that is so important, and it is so important. And I just pray that everybody that hears this message or will hear this message, if they're not having a regular, consistent time in the Word of God, I pray, Lord, that they would start that, because I know how incredible it is. I know how amazing your Word is and how it can work in every aspect of our life. And you want to work in our lives. You want us to grow in our faith. But we have to do our part and to simply open the book and start reading. Lord, help that be a reality in all of our lives, and that we would not stop, that we would not faint in doing that, not be weary in well-doing. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.